Chapter 22, Fear of Lynching Precedes Verdict. Displaying visible evidence of physical exhaustion, Solicitor Dorsey concluded his speech exactly at 12 o'clock Monday. His voice ringing through the crowded room, which had been held speechless, he turned to Judge Roan and said, "Your Honor, I have done my duty. I have no apology to make. So far as the state is concerned, you can now charge this jury sworn to be without prejudice or bias, this jury sworn to try well and truly Leo M. Frank. I beg that under the law you give them your opinion of the evidence. There can be but one verdict. We, the jury, find this defendant guilty. Guilty! Guilty!" As the final words sounded through the room, the gong on the Catholic church a block away from the courthouse sounded, with each intonation of "guilty, guilty, guilty." The bell clanged. This phenomenon had a visible effect upon the audience, jury, and court officers. Judge Roan immediately began reading his charge. He concluded at 12:47. The long trial was at an end. Almost. It remained only for the jury to render its verdict. Would they send Frank to the gallows? Or would they liberate him and place him once more among his fellow men, an equal? The whole city asked itself this question. Feeling was intense. Solicitor Dorsey had been applauded every time the crowd caught a glimpse of him. Such demonstrations never had been made over a prosecutor in Atlanta before. 2,000 people remained in the vicinity of the courthouse all of Saturday. It was with difficulty that the police handled the mass. An outbreak was feared. Race differences were freely discussed. There was talk of violence in the event of an acquittal, and the officers of the 5th Regiment were instructed by the Adjutant General of the state to remain within reach in case it became necessary to call out the militia to prevent any attempt at violence should such occur. At 12:47, Judge Roan finished his charge. In it, he told the talesmen that they were the sole judges of the evidence and of the credibility of the witnesses. He defined and explained the numerous points of law that arose in the case, and gave them specific instructions as to the consideration of circumstantial evidence. The jury was taken from the courtroom shortly before 1 o'clock and conducted across the street to the café for dinner. 10 minutes later, when Solicitor Dorsey left the building to go across the street to his office, he was picked up and carried on the shoulders of the crowd. "Hurrah for Dorsey!" seemed the universal cry. An hour later, the jury was returned to the courthouse to begin its deliberation. The 12 men were assigned to a room on the 4th floor. Downstairs, the courtroom was thronged. The streets outside for a block in each direction were covered with a mass of humanity kept in motion by the police. Shortly after 3 o'clock, Foreman Winburn of the jury rapped on the door and told Deputy Sheriff Plenty Minor that a verdict had been reached. It was later disclosed that the talesmen had reached a unanimous opinion on the second ballot. Judge Roan was summoned from his home, and Solicitor Dorsey was called. Attorneys Rosser and Arnold could not be located, and the verdict was received by the court without their presence. Before the verdict was received, Judge Roan ordered the courtroom cleared. When the 12 good men and true marched downstairs and entered the courtroom, there were only a few attorneys, the court attachés, and a score or more newspaper men present. The defendant had waived his presence and remained in his cell at the tower. This was done to prevent a possible outbreak. Neither his wife nor his mother were in attendance. Friends of the defendant, too, and the members of his religion were absent. This kept the vast crowd in the vicinity of the courtroom from violence, if any had been intended. A stillness fell over the courtroom when the jurymen took their seats in the box. Each man wore the solemn expression which, interpreted, could mean but one thing. "Gentlemen, have you arrived at a verdict?" asked Judge Roan formally. "We have," replied Foreman Winburn. "Read it," commanded the court. The foreman arose in his seat, and holding the verdict in his hand, read, "We, the jury, find the defendant guilty." The end.